You know, I've been in meditation most of my life. I didn't know it. I didn't know that's what you called it, but that's what I've been doing. But I really got serious about it 10 years ago. And then 3 years ago, I carried it to the extreme. Now, it's not, I'm not talking about meditation like transcendental, yoga, Buddha, New Age stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the truth, meditating on the truth. Hold on one second. By meditating on the truth that's right in front of us, really. Digging in the Bible, digging in the Word, just listening to other people. I actually listened to, I've listened to Louis Farrakhan. I've listened to every teacher out there that I could find. I even listened to Joyce Myers a long time, for like 4 years, like 20, 30 years, a long time ago. A lot of the stuff I talk about, I picked up from her, to be honest with you. But I kicked out stuff that didn't line up with the Word. And so, most of my teaching is from Charles Stanley, BBN, a little bit of Joyce Myers. But, you know, I don't think she should be a preacher. I don't know why she calls herself a preacher. But I don't do the tongue. I don't, you know, she got away from that. And I think she believes in eternal security now. I hadn't listened to her in a long time, maybe 10 years. I really don't want to hear her anymore. I really don't want to hear her anymore. I really don't listen to any female teachers because God has called men to teach and preach, you know. Women have a lot. I've learned a lot from women over the years, especially online, communicating, commenting, so forth, back and forth. There's a lot of saved women online that I've learned a lot from. Talking to them. But I only listen to preachers that are men, or teachers that are men, that are like formal, in a formal setting. You know, I'm not going to listen to a woman teach. That's just not going to happen. And I know that sounds, to the world, from the worldly wisdom, that sounds like, well, you're a male chauvinist pig. No, I just believe the Bible. Let not a woman teach or take authority over the man. I just believe the Bible. Now here, making a living, what can I do, you know? What can I do about it? If a boss is not a man, you know, what can you do? Corporations run their own corporations the way they want to run them. But anyway, when you do the gig economy, that using the rideshare app, you don't know who's sitting in the office signing your check, you know. You don't know who's up there. You got to make a living doing something, especially if you didn't know all this. Think about it. You didn't know all these truths when you were young, and your family didn't know these truths, and so you were kind of a slave to Babylon, and trying to get out of Babylon takes you. I mean, look at the children of Israel. 40 years in the desert, God had to retrain their brain, you know. They were stuck in Babylon, and God had to let the old generation die off. Why? Why did God let the old generation die off? Because it was a Babylonian mindset. Think about that. Really think about that. Before they could enter into the promised land, the old generation had to lose its grip. God had to retrain them for 40 years, their mind, re-brainwash them. It was a trip, to be honest with you. If you really put some thought into it, you'll see what I'm saying. So when you cut the noise off, now you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit, you got the Word, you got the truth. So you can actually renew your mind faster now than they did, because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can renew your mind faster. You don't need to take 40 years. it probably will take 40 years. I hate to tell you this, but you don't need to. You can do it faster. But to renew your mind away from the Babylonian mindset, it's going to take some years. And it's going to take some serious dedication. What's more important than the mind of Christ? What's more important than the mind of Christ? I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything more important than the mind of Christ. Nothing. I can't think of anything. It's, in other words, when you really want the mind of Christ above anything else in life, you will do whatever it takes. You will fast, you will pray, you will carry a Bible in your sock, you'll keep notes, a piece of paper in your back pocket, and take notes as God is teaching you by the Spirit. If you want the mind of Christ, you got to want it more than anything, because it's gold. That's gold. The mind of Christ is gold, and it's eternal gold. It's not temporal. It's eternal. And you might say, well, I got to make a living. I got to pay the bills. I got to learn a top. I got to learn my trade. Yeah, learn your trade. Go ahead. It might take you a few years to learn your trade, but that's fine. But then, while you're learning your trade, just keep the mind of Christ as much as you can. And then when you get your trade under your belt, then focus on the mind of Christ. Because your trade is just going to be the same. You know, if it's electronics, you're going to have to learn a lot all the time. If it's programming, you're going to have to learn new languages. But for the most part, once you learn your trade, you got it. It's the same repeat every day. It's a repeat every day. Learn your trade. Learn your trade and then build your house. Learn your trade and then build your house. It says that in Proverbs, right? Or Ecclesiastes, somewhere in the Bible. It says, learn your trade, then build your house. Find the work that is fit for your hands, then build your house. What does that mean? That means go ahead and find out what you need to do, what you like to do, what your calling is, and then build your house. Whether you get married or stay single or whatever, build your house. It talks about is really home, or to abide, or the mind of Christ. Then get the mind of Christ. Figure out how to make a living by the grace of God. Find something you enjoy doing. It don't matter what it is. You could drive a beer truck. It really don't matter. It's all Babylon anyway. If you want to drive a beer truck, do it. Who cares? So the preacher is going to say, or the legalist is going to say, you drive a beer truck? Yeah, I drive a beer truck. I gotta pay the bills too. Who cares? Yeah, but that's alcohol. Give wine to those who are perishing, the Bible says. Give strong drink to those who are perishing. I don't really care what you do. But if it affects you to have the mind of Christ, you better not do it. If driving a beer truck doesn't allow you to have the mind of Christ, don't do it. But the chances are they don't want you drinking on the job. And they don't really want you drinking. Even though they're selling beer, they know it's bad for the country, bad for people, but they don't want you drinking it. I bet you the people who make the beer, like Budweiser and all, I bet they don't even drink beer. I bet they're just laughing at people. But whatever you do that you enjoy, learn it, get good at it, then build your house and get the mind of Christ. Men, women, and pass it on. Because look, if you don't pass it on to the next generation, what are they going to learn? They're going to learn Babylon. They're going to learn the world, the flesh, the prior life. They're not going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. There's going to be a famine in the land of truth, famine in the land of work. And so to avoid the famine in the land, you got to get the word out. And you might say, well, I'm a woman, or I'm not a preacher. It don't matter. Do a blog. The women can teach women, and women can teach children. Do a blog. Talk. Communicate. Communion. pass it on. This, if you really want to save your country, I don't care what country you're in, China, Russia, USA, whatever, get out the word, because the word is going to be against. If you really become a born-again person, you're going to know that socialism is a lie from the pit of hell. You're going to know that communism is a lie. You're going to know that it's a sacrificial, redemptive system. Eventually, God will reveal that to you. And there's going to be sacrifice in life. If you want a home, you got to sacrifice. If you want to learn a new trade, you got to sacrifice. If you want to make a living, you got to sacrifice. Whatever you're trying to do in this world, you're going to have to sacrifice. There's going to be sacrifice. Even doing this, where I record something and I upload it, I had to sacrifice my time and my money to set this system up. Now I can record on my phone, hit a button, and upload it, and store it on the cloud. And so the cloud, it's stored on the cloud. And I can download it into a DVD or whatever I want to decide to do later on. It's already there. It took sacrifice to set up a system. Still not perfect. I'm still working on it. Nobody's donating. But I'm not doing it. I'm paying out of my own pocket. I don't really need the donations because I'm not doing it for that. I'm passing it on because God gave it to me freely. And the code stuff, that stuff is just extra credit stuff. Sacrifice, endurance, patience, renewing the mind of Christ, cutting off the agents, getting in some solitude, some meditation, some contemplation, reflecting. You're in a reflecting pond anyway, so you might as well reflect. You're in the reflecting pond, so you might as well reflect. That's the real deal. It's all a reflecting pond. You're actually, if you really dig down deep to the code and really, you're actually in, it looks to me like, I can't prove it, but it looks like you're in the mind of God. It's like you're in, not only are you in the mind of God, this is real. You're a fractal. You're like an image. It's kind of like let's say you created a mirror, but the mirror was you. And every time somebody looks at you, they see themselves. And so you're a piece cut off from God. So it's an image. It's an image, right? And that's why when you get your new body, it'll be a spiritual body. It's an image right now. And so it's a 3D image. And so when he told Moses to build the temple according to the pattern, everything had to be according to the pattern. And so there was an episode, Doctor Who episode, a couple days ago, and the master was mad at the doctor because the doctor was the eternal child, and the master found out that he only was able to regenerate because of the doctor. So he's a piece of the doctor. And so the master would represent the devil is mad at God because he really has no free will. He really has no free will because he's a piece cut off from the doctor. And so that's why the master is so angry. And that's why the devil's angry, because the devil came to the conclusion. He says, I really don't have free will. I got to worship God no matter what. Yeah, but and then God shows how the humans, shows the devil how the humans worship God as a fallen creature with free will, and shows the devil up. And that's why the devil hates us. He wants to see the humans, and the humans are wicked. They're evil. You got, if you got teeth in your body, it means you're killing stuff to eat to survive. So anyway, the human is evil. And the devil is mad. But what we find out is the devil fell because of pride. So pride is the most evil attribute of all. Not attribute. What's the word? I shouldn't say attribute. Pride. Pride is the most, it's the opposite of attribute. Pride is the worst sin of all. But there's a word. There's a word of what I'm trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? You would say love is your greatest attribute and truth is your greatest attribute. But then the devil's greatest failure is his pride. But there's a word that's kind of opposite. It's the opposite of attribute. I can't think of it right now. The worst, your greatest attribute would be love and truth. But your worst, not attribute, but your worst personality flaw would be pride. Not acknowledging that God, and this is why the Wiccans and the New Age people, they don't acknowledge that everything they have is from God. But they think they're God. It's easy to understand where they're coming from. So when they get in a deep study, they realize they can think it and it'll happen. But instead of them seeing themselves as a farmer, they think they're God. But it's still a base program that they're using. Long story short, the devil, the master, hates the doctor, and the devil hates God because he realizes he's a piece cut off. He's really not his own. He wants to be his own, but if you watch that episode, the master said, just destroy it all. And he gave the doctor the button that she could push to destroy that whole planet. But she didn't do it. He says, be like me. Become me. Destroy it all. Destroy it all. Destroy this place. He wanted to die. He wanted, just like the devil now, Jesus comes back to destroy those that would destroy the earth. There's people that want to destroy the earth because they know it's a simulation. And they want to end the simulation because it's a daily repeat. It's a red versus blue repeat, day after day after day, just like Groundhog Day. And so they want to destroy this place because they get demon-possessed, and they think if they destroy the 3D world, that they're going to be ascended beings of some kind, be their own. They're going to be independent of God, is what they think. And so Jesus comes back to destroy the earth because this is his... The earth, the natural realm's a piece cut off, which is the birthing realm, to make copies. And the devil sees that he's making copies of Jesus, and the devil hates that because he'll never be a copy of Jesus. And so the devil's just making psychopath copies after himself. So I've just told you, every movie, every plot at the end, everything that comes to the end. So what happens is, you either become psychopathic and get the mind of the devil, or you become more like Christ and get the mind of Christ. There's no other choice. That's the end game. That's the end game.